The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 254 of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson, with me once again this week from RedsMinorLeagues.com, RedLegNation.com, the man, Doug Gray. How are you today, Doug?
I'm doing pretty good, Chad. How about yourself?
I'm doing incredibly well because baseball started. Did you notice that?
I did. I was actually very excited about that. I don't know if anybody knows me or anything, but I really do like baseball. So I spent about 7 hours yesterday watching games, including the Reds game, which was awesome, even though it ended in a tie. But, you know, it's spring training. It doesn't really matter. As long as everybody got through it healthy, that's all that matters. But it's still fun to watch.
Absolutely. But you just said the Reds tied, so what you're telling me is the Cincinnati Reds remain undefeated. That's exactly
what I'm telling you.
All right. So spring training going well. It was fun to watch. It was interesting to see Matt Kemp homer. Watch Joey Votto ground out. Why does Joey Votto suck?
I think it's because Twitter says he sucks. That's what I picked up.
That's true. Well, let me just so that you understand why we're here today. This is a bonus episode of the podcast. We actually dropped our regularly scheduled weekly episode a day early this week, and that was due to some scheduling problems, some issues that I had in my life, and that's the first time in months and months that we've not dropped one on Friday morning. So I thought, why not? I've been meaning to talk to Doug anyway. Let's get him on and talk about some things and just toss in a bonus podcast over the weekend. So here we are. Before we dig deeply into what's going on with the Reds, I want to thank those of you who have supported us over at Patreon, patreon.com/redlegradio. We talked about that a little bit on the last podcast. I'm not going to belabor this every week, but I do want to thank some of you that have supported us. And the early response was really gratifying. And thank you so much to those of you that came over and decided to support Red Leg Nation Radio and what we're trying to do. I'm already making some plans about things to do if we can continue to get support. And so I want to thank him. We'll thank some of you by name here in just one moment. But Doug, you've been on Patreon for a while now. What are your thoughts about that whole platform and how can fans support you there as well?
I mean, I love Patreon. I think this will be my third year. Maybe it's my second year on Patreon. I don't know. I'm old, Chad. I forget time. It doesn't work for me anymore. But no, Patreon's great. From my end of things, it just makes getting the content to everybody much easier. With the podcast, you know, everybody kind of has that subscription feed already. So it might not be quite the same for the podcast as it is for what I do with the Reds minor league stuff. But it definitely made my life a lot easier. I love Patreon. I mean, realistically, I think that it's really been game-changing for a lot of people in the, I mean, I hate to use this term, but, you know, the content creation world, depending on, you know, how you do it. I mean, podcasting, people like me that go out and write every day, and they don't have that traditional, you know, company backing their work. It really does just give more people an opportunity to kind of just really commit themselves to doing things because, you know, people do enjoy what a lot of people do. I mean, clearly, people love this podcast, except for when I'm on it. I'm sorry, guys. But and so, you know, just being able to, you know, give a few dollars here or there to just support that, keep it going, it's great. I love it. For those who don't really know about my Patreon, it's just patreon.com/RedsMinorLeagues. Every morning during the season, you get an email in your inbox kind of giving you a rundown on what happened in all the games the night before. rundown on the top 25 prospects with special notes and stuff that you're not going to get on the site. Yeah, just a little thank you kind of thing for supporting the site. So that's my sales pitch. Take it. Don't take it. That's fine. I appreciate you either way. So
yeah,
there you go.
That's sort of the point I want to get across for those of you who didn't hear the last podcast. Whether you support us at Patreon or not, this the weekly podcast is going to be available every Friday for free. It's in your podcast feeds if you've subscribed for free, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, we're there. And that's going to remain the same. What the Patreon is allowing us to do is to cover my out-of-pocket costs, frankly. And then to the extent that we go and get any more than that, it's going to be used to... I'm already planning some fun things, live podcasts, things like that, for Red Leg Nation Radio. And just to keep us going and give you a chance to be part of the community. But you don't have to spend one red cent to be part of this community. We're happy to have you. I do want to, you know, one of the tiers that you can, if you're a Joey Votto Club or higher Patreon patron, one of the benefits, I guess if you call it a benefit, is that your name gets shouted out on the podcast. And I want to go ahead and just run through a few of those and thank you specifically for supporting us at patreon.com/redlegradio. Jeff Tingler, my man, thank you so much, buddy. Joseph Prince, Adam McIntyre, Mike Hudson, and if you follow Mike Hudson on Twitter, you will know that Mike Hudson sucks. Mike Hudson came to one of our book signings. You know, I wrote a book, the Big 50. The Big 50. Anyway, Mike, appreciate it, buddy. Ethan Price, thank you so much. John Bina, I don't know if that's really your name, John. If you have some other name other than that, let me know what it is, and we'll shout out your real name. Woo the Reds. I think you're familiar with Woo the Reds from Twitter.com, Doug.
I've been familiar with a few of these names so far.
Yeah. If you want, have a real name you want us to shout out, we will. If not, you need to message us. If so, if not, Woo the Reds, thank you so much. Clint Little and Richard Pratt. Clint, Richard, thank you so much, guys, for supporting us on Patreon. At the Joey Votto Club level or higher. Now, there are a few of you who haven't gotten your names shouted out yet, although I did shout out most of them, I think, last week or on our last podcast. They throw you in my feed to be thanked once you've actually, a payment has gone through. And so, but thanks to everybody. It's just, it's been so much fun to watch you guys support the podcast over the years, and now specifically with Patreon. Now, that's the last thing I want to say about that today, other than thanking those guys. Now, how about baseball? Real Reds baseball. But Nick Senzel didn't play yesterday, and he's not going to play today either. What is Nick Senzel? Have they given up on him? Is he a bust, Doug?
You know, I think they actually cut him yesterday morning. No.
Don't say that. Oh,
here's some good news. He's not playing today. He is scheduled to play in center field tomorrow. And
tomorrow
that game is going to be, tomorrow being Monday, and that game is going to be available to watch on television. It's going to be on MLB Network on a one-hour delay. If you've got MLB.tv, it's going to be live. So I'm very happy that we're going to get a chance to see that actually happen with our own eyes. We don't have to just fall on the radio and kind of guess it how he's playing. We'll all get to see it, and I'm excited about that, Chad.
And he's playing center field, evidently, right? Is that what I understand?
Yes, he's going to be playing center field. Apparently David Bell said this morning that they wanted to give him an extra few days to track live baseballs, which, I mean, to me, that's a little bit weird just because, I mean, the guy's been out there since December in Goodyear learning to play center field. He's been tracking live fly balls for 2+ months, almost 3 months at this point. Did he really need an extra 2 days? I mean, I don't know. I it's spring training. I'm overthinking things. But when I saw that quote, I just kind of laughed to myself, like, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's going to make the difference, right? but whatever, they know them more than we do. But it sort of does lead to the question that everyone knows my opinion on this, and so I don't need to belabor it too much. But the question that we've discussed on a number of podcasts, which is Nick Senzel on the opening day roster. Doug, what are your thoughts on whether the Reds and Red Leg Nation? I got to give you credit, man. You have organized a pretty good debate back and forth on that question. And if you've not read all those posts at redlegnation.com, you should go check all of them out. on what the Reds should do in terms of Nick Senzel on the opening day roster. I don't believe you have weighed in at Red Leg Nation. I think you have on Twitter. Why don't you tell us what your thoughts are?
I mean, it seems that there's a lot of varying opinions on this one. I'll be honest. From the Reds' standpoint, I get why they would, quote-unquote, manipulate the service time. I get it. It makes sense from a business-y standpoint, if you really want to think about it. At the same time, I can't get on board with it. The Reds would have called him up last year had he not gotten hurt. And I don't want to say they were lucky that Nick Senzel got hurt, because clearly they weren't lucky that Nick Senzel got hurt. That's a really stupid thing to say. But if you're going to really look at the service time aspect of it, they got lucky in that sense, because they didn't lose that year. You know, this year, they're quote-unquote going for it. Now, they're not quote-unquote all in. I keep quoting and unquoting things. I'm going to stop that now. But
please do.
You know, they're all in.
Do air quotes that we can't see.
I've been doing them, but you couldn't see them.
That's true.
But you know, the Reds they're going for it this year. They went out and they've made trades to shore up the rotation. They've shored up the outfield. Heck, I mean, I'm not even sure they've got enough room for the guys they've got in the outfield right now. Nick Senzel is the top prospect in the organization. The National League Central is a very tight race. I mean, right now, Baseball Prospectus has the Cubs finishing in last place. I think that if you asked around, there's a lot of people that would just say the Cubs are going to finish in first place this year.
Sure.
I mean, that's kind of how close this division is. Even if you're just talking 2 weeks, if Nick Senzel is the best center fielder on this team, 2 weeks can make a difference between being in the playoffs and not being in the playoffs. One or two games, and you know, I've seen the argument, well, you know, he's not going to be worth one or two wins. And people look at wins and war in the same way, and that's not really how that works. I mean, it just isn't. And if Nick Senzel's one of the best 25 guys, put him on the roster. I mean, just do it. The difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs in terms of money for an organization is huge. It's huge. Don't worry about that extra money. Don't worry about what's going to happen in 2025 at this point in time. We have no idea what's going to happen in 2025. You know, I think that there were some really good points brought up that, you know, the collective bargaining agreement could be completely blown up and changed. And even if it's not, I still don't care. I at this point, I don't care about 2025.
Well, absolutely. And not that the Reds shouldn't have some eye towards the future, and clearly they do in terms of a number of decisions they made. But those are my thoughts. You know, and again, I'm not going to belabor them much more because I've been saying them forever. But this is a year where we've suffered through four consecutive 90-plus loss seasons. I want to see the best 25 guys on the roster from day one. And not having Nick Senzel here hurts the team. And you're willingly harming the product that you're putting on the field by not having him in Cincinnati. Okay, you're doing it for sound business reasons. I can buy that argument. But you are willingly harming your team, your current team. And I don't think the Reds can afford to do that. It's just 2 weeks. Well, okay. They play games in those 2 weeks. And those games count towards the standings. So I'm absolutely against the Reds sending Nick Senzel down. As you said, he would have been here. It wouldn't even been a question if he hadn't gotten hurt last year, or if the Reds hadn't screwed around with him at the beginning of the season when Eugenio Suarez got hurt early last year. But if they do it again this year, I'm telling you, you could not, if I were Nick Senzel and they screwed around with me again this year, it would be a grudge that I would hold for the rest of my career, frankly. And hopefully he's not as petty as I am. But if he's good enough, you may just have to pay him for that extra year, quote-unquote, that we hear talked about at the end of that time. Just pay him what he's going to be worth, and then, you know, everyone's happy.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to end up paying Nick Senzel $26 million for that last year, well, you know what that means? He was really stinking good.
Exactly.
And are you really going to be that upset that you've got to pay a 29- or 30-year-old Nick Senzel to be an all-star caliber player? Probably not. You're probably not going to be too upset about that in 2025 or 2024 or however it works out.
Yeah, somebody be complaining, though, that we could have got him cheaper, as if it were coming out of their pocket. All right, so Nick Senzel is going to play, and I'm really eager to watch, see how that goes, and really eager to see what happens once spring training ends and we get into the regular season, see where he is. And a lot of that may be dependent on what he looks like in center field. We're getting some good reports, but then on the other hand, who knows until we actually see him play. So talking about how that roster is going to be composed, there's been a really good debate, certainly on Twitter, and you can follow us at Red Leg Radio. I'm at Dotson C. He's at DougDirt24 on Twitter.com, if that's your thing. But a really good discussion, debate over how the roster, and specifically the bench, are going to be constructed. And that's because Jose Iglesias is now a member of the Reds. You know, there were some rumors the Reds were talking with Iglesias. He's a free agent, has been with the Tigers. And then Trent Rosecrans walks into the clubhouse the next day, and there's no announcement about Iglesias, but he does have a jersey hanging up in there and has a locker. But it did later become official. And so the Reds have signed Jose Iglesias specifically to be a backup shortstop. And I think it's a great signing. Really happy about it. Iglesias, of course, if you don't know, he's the guy that was such a good shortstop that the Tigers felt that they could trade Eugenio Suarez to Cincinnati for the bloated corpse of Alfredo Simon.
And thanks for that, by the way.
You're welcome. Yeah. I had to throw that in. And now Iglesias and Suarez are both with the Reds, and Suarez, you know, has some real value, especially as a bench guy.
Yeah, he does. But wait, did you actually mean Suarez? Was that not a joke?
Did I say Suarez?
You mean Iglesias?
Yes, Suarez does have some value. Yes,
he really would be a good player to have off your bench.
if you're good enough that Eugenio Suarez is coming off your bench. You're pretty
good.
Print
those World Series tickets now? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Jose Iglesias, what are your thoughts about this? To me, this is it raises some questions about what the Reds are going to do with their bench, but to me, this is a great signing. Some more talent added to this organization.
I mean, yeah, Jose Iglesias is a starting caliber shortstop in Major League Baseball. I mean, if you rank the 30 best shortstops in Major League Baseball, he's in the top 30. I cannot believe that he signed a minor league deal, and then the fact that he signed with the Reds, who don't really even have a competition for shortstop or second base. Like, I love it for the Reds. I can't figure out how this worked out for the Reds, though. I can't do it. He's an outstanding backup. I mean, he might be the best backup shortstop in Major League Baseball this year, as long as we're not including guys that are, you know, top prospects that are sitting down in Double A or Triple A that are going to come up at some point later in the year.
Yeah, he's a, you know, two and a half win player, and I know he can't hit. He doesn't hit very well.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit better than Billy Hamilton as a hitter. Like, he's not really a guy that you're thinking, oh, this guy's going to be a guy we're going to put somewhere other than the 7, 8, 9 spot in our lineup, depending on what day it is.
But if he's willing to sign a minor league contract, I'm surprised, like you, that there wasn't another landing spot for him. Other than a team that has a young shortstop that's seemingly entrenched.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've seen national writers just openly question, what were the Pittsburgh Pirates doing here? Like, how is he not their starting shortstop today? Because he's clearly better than their options. And yet he signed with a division rival as a backup with no real clear path to playing time. So I don't get. I'm glad the Reds brought him in. I think he's a great pickup. He's going to make the team better. But just from a Jose Iglesias standpoint, I don't understand what he was thinking.
Well, from his standpoint, you got to think this was the best option, which is a bizarre set of circumstances. But from the Reds' perspective now, the bench is awfully crowded, especially when you consider that David Bell reiterated this week that he intends to keep just a 4-man bench. I think that's too many pitchers. They don't need that many pitchers on their staff, because that'll be a 13-man pitching staff. But if there's only going to be 4 people on this bench, I don't know how the numbers work there, Doug.
You know, I mean, I don't either. It's really strange to kind of look at the options that the Reds have and figure out how it works. Let's play this out. You've got to have a backup catcher, which means you've got 3 spots left on your roster for Matt Kemp, Derek Dietrich, Jose Iglesias, Philip Ervin,
Scott Schebler, presumably.
One of Jesse Winker and Scott Schebler.
Right.
Like, I mean, the numbers do not really work at a four-man bench. Now, it is worth noting that David Bell, when he does keep mentioning this 13-man pitching staff slash four-man bench, he says most of the year he envisions that. So I think there's a chance that we could start off the season with, you know, seeing the Reds have a five-man bench where the numbers work out a little bit better. But it, really, at that point, you're just kind of pushing your decision a little bit forward into the season. Even if it is just most of the season, you're going to see that. I mean, that's you're going to have to make a decision at some point to either cut someone or, you know, send a guy like Scott Schebler back to AAA. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Having depth is great. And it's been a very long time since we could look at the Reds bench and go, hey, this there's not really a weak spot on this bench. But the Reds are going to have some really tough decisions to make when it comes to figuring out how to make this bench work.
Yeah, essentially three spots if you don't include Kurt Casale, who, presuming health, if he's healthy, will be the backup catcher. If not, we'll see what the Reds do with that. But Kyle Farmer, or I don't know if Connor Joe can handle it, but so that leaves three spots on a four-man bench. And let me just tell you something. Scott Schebler, assuming Jesse Winker's a starter, you can flip those if you want, but Scott Schebler is not a minor leaguer. Matt Kemp is not a minor leaguer. Jose Iglesias is not a minor leaguer. Derek Dietrich is not a minor leaguer. There's four guys right there. Philip Irvin, you know, is a legit, certainly at least a bench bat, in the big leagues.
I mean, what about Alex Blandino?
Alex Blandino is...
He may not be healthy, ready to start the year, but, I mean, he's expected to be healthy at some point in April.
He's a legit bench guy.
Yeah, and then you've got Connor Joe, who you just mentioned. He's a Rule 5 draft pick. If he doesn't make the team, you've got to send him back. In the terms of Major League Baseball, $100,000 is nothing, but you spend $100,000 to kind of look at this guy, and realistically, unless there are multiple injuries, he has no shot at making this team.
Yeah, it's strange. Now, a couple things. They could still be working on different trades. We don't know. I still think there's a not insignificant chance that they just cut Matt Kemp. Maybe I'm thinking too outside the box, but I think there's a chance they just cut him and move on. And the other thing is, who knows? Who knows what this team is going to look like come opening day? If Nick Senzel's not here, that's an extra spot that's open. There's a lot of things that have to happen, but I guess it's never a bad thing to have too many quality players, but I'm having a difficult time seeing how the Reds are going to work all this out.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if the Reds just outright cut Matt Kemp, because if you're going to cut him, that means you're eating the salary, and I think if they're willing to eat the salary, they can make a trade. Not that they'd get much back at all, but I think that somebody would take him if the Reds were just going to eat the salary.
Well, and it'd be interesting to see if he's they try to slip him through waivers, and someone claims him, and then they work out some kind of a deal. We'll see. So yesterday was the first spring training game for the Reds, as we discussed, and Sonny Gray got the spring training opening day start. Right, that's what I remember seeing in the news, that Sonny Gray, the new pitcher, just signed to a long term deal by the Reds after being traded from the Yankees, or really as part of that trade, they worked out the extension. How'd he do in his first start in a Reds uniform, Doug?
I've got some bad news for you, Chad.
Oh no.
Sonny Gray was scratched from that start and didn't make it because he's having some elbow tenderness.
That doesn't sound good.
It does not. But there is some slight good news with that. The Reds don't expect it to be an actual issue, and he was doing workouts yesterday instead of pitching. Now, we've seen how this has played out in the past before, unfortunately. But it at least right now, it doesn't seem serious. The Reds don't seem concerned about it. So
okay, and maybe we should not be concerned about it, and maybe the Reds are really not concerned about it. I mean, that's all that I have no evidence of anything other than it just being something minor, and you know, we'll all have forgotten about it in a couple weeks. There really is no indication of anything other than that. But I'm going to be the old cynical Chad, because I've heard all this before, and that doesn't mean that just because it was this way with other pitchers that it's going to be this way with Sonny Gray, but Gray says, it's nothing I'm overly worried about. I'll start throwing in the next couple days. Just something there's no reason to push it right now. Oh, my goodness. How many times have we heard that over the years?
74,000.
74,092 times.
I mean, to be fair, Chad, and this is me making a very big leap here. At least it's not what's going on with Clayton Kershaw, where he was shut down indefinitely with some sort of arm injury. They don't even know what's wrong with his arm. They just know that it's not working right, it doesn't feel right, and, well, he's just shut down indefinitely.
I still say, though, if you had Clayton Kershaw and you decided to just let him pitch with his right hand, he'd still be part of the number two starter on the Reds.
I could see that. But he's pretty good.
You're right. There's no evidence for us to panic about Sonny Gray. There's nothing really there. But, man, if, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I won't be fooled again. Whatever the famous quote is.
I'm pretty sure that was right.
I've just seen it too many times. And so until I see him on the mound throwing without any discomfort whatsoever, I'm going to be a little bit skeptical. But let's be honest. There really, truly is no actual evidence that we have from outside the organization. Because he has been doing his workouts. He's not showing any of the other signs. That just a little stiffness, and he'll pitch again here in the next week or so, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't read it and then kind of tense up for a second just because, well, Cincinnati Reds. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully it's nothing, and we'll find out soon enough because he is scheduled to start throwing again here shortly.
And when all five of the Reds' presumed starters get injured here in spring training, we've always got Tim Adelman, who just re-signed a minor league deal with the Reds. Huh? Tim Adelman?
Yeah, well,
2 years ago, threw the most innings of any Red starter. He's tanned, rested, and ready.
I mean, I can't, you know, speak to the tan part, but he probably is rested and ready.
I hope so. Good old Timmy Adelman from Georgetown University. Now, going back, just circling a tiny bit back to what we were talking about with the bench, I want to get your thoughts about Michael Lorenzen. Is the fact that we're talking about a 13-man, this has been proposed as well, I've been very skeptical that the Reds are actually going to give Michael Lorenzen any kind of an expanded role. I think he'll pinch hit a little bit more. They may leave him in the game twice this season after he's pitching the eighth inning and let him play defense in the ninth in the outfield. But is there an argument to be made that the Reds going with a 4-man bench means that they're going to have to give Lorenzen sort of an expanded role? Does that make any sense?
I mean, the idea in theory makes sense, but the idea in practice on the Reds, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, we just discussed how many outfielders the Reds have, and they don't have enough playing time for them already. Well, the idea would be to play Michael Lorenzen in the outfield. Well, they already don't have enough spots for the outfielders they do have who are actual outfielders. And don't get me wrong, Michael Lorenzen's he might be the best athlete out of all of them, but he also hasn't played the outfield in like 5 years. He's not really going to get too much practice playing the outfield. And when it comes to pinch hitting, I mean, Michael Lorenzen's a great hitter for a pitcher. He's not a better hitter than Matt Kemp, Scott Schebler, Nick Senzel, Jesse Winker. Like, he's just not going to be. And so when you're talking about, you know, using him as a pinch hitter, on a given day, he's your third or fourth best option at best coming off the bench as a pinch hitter. So I don't see the whole, you know, two-way player kind of thing with Michael Lorenzen. I do think that he'll get more chances to pinch hit just because he'll pinch hit for the pitcher he's replacing. He'll get a few more at-bats because maybe he'll, you know, stay in the game and hit for himself rather than being switched out for a pinch hitter like your other relievers would be. But if he gets more than 100 at-bats this year, I'd be shocked. If he spends more than 25 innings in the field this year, I'd be shocked. Just with the way this roster looks, it doesn't make sense. In different scenarios on different teams, I could see it happening a little bit differently. With the way this team's built, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I have a difficult time. And I've been a proponent of using Michael Lorenzen in different ways for a long time. The truth of the matter is they probably should have, when he was drafted, you know, probably about half the teams that were looking to draft him planned on him being a center fielder. I mean, it wasn't surefire that he was an outfielder. And as a matter of fact, that MLB's website, he was listed as an outfielder on draft day in their draft preview section. So,
yeah, I mean, he was a first, second round kind of center field prospect. I mean, depending on who you asked, there were plenty of teams that liked him a lot more as a center fielder than as a closer.
Absolutely. And so if the Reds had been not been the same old school Reds we've always seen back when they drafted him, if they had been creative in the minor leagues all the way up through, had him playing center field and pitching and doing something like we see with, I mean, certainly he's not Shohei Ohtani or the kid who went to college at Louisville that's with the Rays now.
Brandon McKay.
McKay, right. There was an opportunity at one point. Now I'm not sure I see how it works. Although, frankly, we've not seen Lorenzen taking fly balls. He may be the best defensive center fielder on the team. I think wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. But in terms of being a hitter, he can hit the ball a long way when he runs into one. I still am sort of small sample size on what he can actually produce. I think he might get exposed if he were allowed to hit too much more. But I'm okay with him however they want to expand that role. I don't see it being much different than what we've seen. But he's not going to be your best pinch hitter. But I don't have a problem with him getting more pinch hit spots. I'd rather have him pinch hitting than Jose Iglesias, for example. So
absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, I don't mind him being in that mix. But we keep hearing these rumblings, though, that they're going to think outside the box with him and really use him in strange and new ways. And I don't know. Again, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I'm not going to expand much on that. You nailed it for me.
As always. Staying in the bullpen, what about this guy Amir Garrett? You heard of him?
I have heard of Amir Garrett, yes.
He tweeted this week that he got contacts and that the doctor said it's going to improve his strikeouts, as I should see the glove better. Definitely got better today, LOL. And then you drew the logical conclusion from that in a piece you wrote at RedLegNation.com, which is Reds reliever Amir Garrett is going to strike out everyone in 2019. Are you willing to stand by that prediction, Doug?
Yes. Yes, I am. But no. Amir Garrett, he missed a lot of bats last year. I mean, he finished second on the team in strikeout percentage, barely behind Raisel Iglesias. But I do think that we could see his strikeout rate go up because, you know, while Amir Garrett didn't have a walk problem, so to speak, I mean, that's the one area he can improve upon, is cutting down on the walks a little bit. And I feel like being able to see a little bit better might help with that. And if Amir Garrett's going to throw a few more strikes, he's probably going to rack up a few more strikeouts.
And combine that with another year of experience and just the expected improvement you would expect to see from someone at his age. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up closing a lot of games this year.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be surprising at all, especially since, you know, they've said they've got kind of a different outlook for how they're going to use Raisel Iglesias in a non-traditional closer's role. I mean, if you're gonna use Iglesias like that, but you still kind of want one of those lockdown closer types, I mean, Amir Garrett might be that guy on any given day, depending on who's coming up in the ninth inning for the opposing team. If they've got two left-handers coming up, yeah, I'm probably gonna go with Amir Garrett.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you surprised? I wasn't ultimately, and I've been banging the drum for Garrett to go back to the starting rotation. But were you surprised that Garrett wasn't among the list of pitchers? We talked on the last week's podcast, or I guess it was this week's, but our last podcast, about the Reds have already announced their starting rotation. But they also announced some other, I don't know if it's announced, but Mark Sheldon of MLB.com reported six other names of guys that are going to get some starts this spring. Those were Brandon Finnegan, Cody Reed, Michael Lorenzen, Robert Stevenson, Sal Romano, and Tyler Malley. Were you surprised Garrett wasn't on that list?
I wasn't. Last year, Amir Garrett, he kind of noted that, you know, he likes the bullpen role. And I feel like there was something I saw in the offseason that, you know, he didn't want to rule out starting either, but he really did like the bullpen role. So I wasn't surprised to see him not listed there. I mean, I think that there's a chance that he could have been had the Reds not gone out and basically revamped their entire rotation.
Yeah.
And there have been maybe more opportunities, but with how things are kind of situated right now, it's not surprising. There's a lot of depth there. And all of the other guys started last year too.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it was in the majors or the minor leagues, like they all had a starter's workload last season as well. Except for Michael Renton. And I mean, even he made more starts than Amir Garrett did last year. So
I look at this list of guys who are going to be getting stretched out and going to get some starts this spring. And it looks like the rotation we were hoping for 2 years ago, which is it's sad in a lot of ways. Brandon Finnegan, Cody Reed, Michael Lorenzen, Robert Stevenson, Sal Romano, Tyler Malley. I mean, and none of those, with the exception of maybe Malley, and I think you can make a good case about Romano, has ever really panned out to this point to be what we hoped they would be. But if those guys had hit their ceilings, you know, that's sort of the rotation we were kind of hoping for, maybe with Castillo thrown in there.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason they brought in Derek Johnson and Caleb Cotham, and yeah. I mean, to a lesser extent, David Bell. They seem to understand that what they were doing wasn't working.
Yeah, we're not.
And so they decided to give it a very, very different look and hopefully method of trying to get these guys to improve and get the most out of their abilities. I think we can all agree that if you look at just the raw arm ability of all of those guys, they've got it. It's being able to take that raw ability and get it to become skill on a day-to-day basis. That's been the biggest issue with a lot of these guys, is that consistent day-to-day or start-to-start ability. You know, sometimes these guys will go out and they'll show it all, and then the next three times out, they really struggle. And, you know, that's probably the case with a lot of pitchers. The guys that are really good every time out, we call those aces, and there's eight of them. But,
we don't know that it was the fault of the Reds in their development that these guys didn't pan out. But, man, it's awfully it's worth looking a different direction, I guess, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the game is changing, too. I mean, if you've been paying attention this spring training to national baseball writers, and I know that not everybody's into it nearly as much as you or I are, Chad, but there have been so many articles coming out about just the way that technology, specifically pitching technology, is changing the way that coaches are taking this information to players. And I mean, I've seen multiple players say that they've learned more in 1 to 2 days with these new technologies and the way that coaches are using it to show them, hey, this is why this pitch works for you when you throw it this way, then they've learned in years before they had this technology available. I mean, it's been really refreshing to read those things and to know that the Reds are a team that they've got this technology. They brought in the guys that understand this. And obviously, there's a difference between understanding it and being able to take that and use it as a coaching tool, but I feel that that's what the Reds are trying to do. So I'm hopeful, and maybe that's just foolish of me to be hopeful, but I'm very hopeful that the Reds are going about it in the right way and that hopefully it does work for them.
No, hopeful is the exact right term, I think, frankly, because they have brought in all this technology and they have brought in specifically guys to convey what all this, all the analytics mean to the players. That's really a big part of Caleb Cotham's actual role on the Reds coaching staff. Is to, he pitched for the Reds just a couple of years ago, as recently as a couple of years ago, you know. So, still a young guy, and they brought in I can't remember the other young guy they brought in on the pitching side. But anyway, because I'm losing my mind in my advanced age. But it's gratifying to see the Reds finally trying to be somewhere close to the forefront of all this revolution in pitching mechanics and teaching how to pitch. And we can only hope it'll bear fruit. I'm just glad to see the Reds doing something different than what they've done in the past, because whether it's all the fault of the way they've developed pitchers, the fact of the matter is that they have not developed pitchers very well over the last 5 to 7 years, and so something had to change, I think. And so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, let's be honest, Chad. It's been a lot longer than 5 to 7 years. We've got Johnny Cueto and Mike Leake for the last 25 years.
True.
And Homer Bailey, I shouldn't disrespect Homer Bailey. That was a total. I had a brain cramp on that one. He definitely belongs in there as someone that they developed, even though it was only for a couple of seasons there that he was pretty good.
No, but I think that's a success in terms of development. The injury, yeah. you can't pin that on the Reds. At least not 100%. I don't know. But before those guys, Tom Browning.
I mean, you got to go back to the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Browning's probably the last one I can think of that they actually developed.
I mean, Brett Tomko, maybe?
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, that's Unfortunately for Reds fans, they know the pain we're feeling right now as we try and search for names here.
That's no good. Speaking of pain, how about that Scooter Gennett? He causes a lot of headaches amongst some people. A lot of people want him gone. A lot of people think he's the greatest player that ever played in Cincinnati. I think he's a really good hitter, and I've been glad to have him with the Reds, and I am not sure there's a future for him here, but that's not because I don't like Scooter Gennett. He was a little frustrated. We talked about this on episode 253, but I wanted to just briefly here, as we start to get towards where we can close this thing out, what were your thoughts about the fact that Scooter was frustrated, I think is the right word, that he had not been offered a contract extension by the Cincinnati Reds?
I mean, I'll be honest, like I used a headline very similar to that, but it does need to be noted that Scooter was more frustrated that the Reds had not gotten back to him about a contract extension that he told them he wanted. He wasn't necessarily frustrated that they hadn't offered him one, which I mean, I'm sure he probably is, because who wouldn't want, you know, job security and knowing that, hey, I'm going to make this much amount of money over the next couple of years and it's locked in. Like, there's no concern or questions there about, you know, what's going to happen. But, I mean, I get it from, you know, Scooter Gennett's side of things. He wants to know what's going on with his future. And right now it's out of his hands. I think we all can understand that. We all kind of want to know what's coming, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And at the same time, I understand why the Reds wouldn't be overly interested in paying Scooter Gennett to stick around right now. They've got other, at least in their mind, good options to play second base that, you know, right or wrong, they're going to be cheaper options. So it's going to save them money. Now, the part that I'm totally with Scooter on, how have the Reds not gotten back to him? I mean, even if it's just to say, you know, hey, Scooter, we're not really interested. You know, we'll see how things go. That this could change in the future. You know, if Nick Senzel, you know, if he comes out and he plays center field and he's really good in center field, they're probably not going to move him back to second base, at least without really thinking about it, because center field's a more important position. But, you know, if things change, we'll get back to you. But right now, we're not interested in that. But they haven't gotten back to him, according to him, at all. Like, they just have not said anything. And that's really weird to me. Like, so I definitely understand the frustration on that point of things.
Yeah, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine who's he's a high school baseball coach. And, you know, he played in the minors, made it to AAA, but now he's a high school baseball coach. But what we were talking specifically about was how at the high school level, you know, just in an athletic department, he's the athletic director as well, communication is so important. And we're talking about local high school communication. Can you imagine what it's got to be like at the big league level? I think that's part of a strong management team, is to communicate your vision with everyone. And having a guy who's your all-star second baseman sort of up in the air, I don't think that's a great thing either. I agree. And I think I would be frustrated if I were Scooter Gennett. I think I would be frustrated because I hadn't been offered a contract as well. But at least I feel like the Reds should let him know where they're going. If they know, and that's the other thing, you know, is Bob Castellini still, you know, how much influence? He obviously wields a lot because he signs the checks, and he loves Scooter, as has been reported. You know, is that sort of, you know, push and pull having some effect on the communication? I don't know, but I don't. The way I put it is, if the Reds sign Scooter Gennett for, you know, a few more years, great, whatever. I don't have any problem with that. If they don't sign him, okay, that's fine too. If they trade him, all right, that's fine. But I don't, I guess I'm like you. I don't blame Scooter for being a little bit frustrated by the way it's all playing out. I think it's reasonable for him to be like that.
Yeah, and it from what I picked up, I mean, I was not in the room, so I don't know this, but it, from what I seem to have picked up from the other writers is, you know, he was asked about the situation. He didn't, you know, okay, hey guys, come over here, I've got some complaining to do. Someone asked him about it, and he opened up, and, you know, he kind of, you know, answered the question and went into a little bit maybe more details than the Reds would have liked about it, but it wasn't a situation where he decided to just kind of go, hey guys, I've got some things I want to say. Someone asked him about it, and he answered it, and, you know, it was brutally honest.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to describe it. All right, you want to go for a couple of hashtag viewer mail questions?
I am in.
As always, these are actual letters from actual viewers.
And you're viewing them, so it is viewer mail.
Exactly, and they sent it to me in the mail.
Ooh,
I
like that.
I had to go out to my mailbox to get it. I told Doug before we went on the air, I intended to send a call out at Patreon for patrons to ask us some questions, since it was a bonus podcast, and just give the people that have decided to support us through Patreon a chance to ask a couple of questions. And I just sent that call for questions out too late. So we're not going to have any of those. But we do have a few that haven't been answered from our Twitter account at Red Leg Radio. You can tweet at us, hash brown viewer mail. One is from, you know this guy, Philip Razor.
Yes, my good buddy Phil. We're going to be taking in spring training together later this, later this year.
Bless your heart.
I know.
Philip asks, when is the podcast going daily?
I'll let you answer that one, Chad.
The answer to that is when we get enough patrons supporting the podcast that I can quit my day job. I will not only go daily, but we'll have an audio podcast daily as well as a 3-time weekly video podcast. That's my pledge to you once we get enough patrons so that I can quit my day job. What do you think about that, Doug Gray?
I mean, I think it's a great plan. Good luck.
Aaron Finney on Twitter asks, is third base in the National League the hardest position to be an all-star? Suarez, Bryant, Machado, Donaldson, Arenado, Rendon, Turner. It's stacked! !! Hashtag viewer mail. What do you think about that question?
I mean, it might be. Starting pitcher is also really tough because you've got five per team and you get five or six of them on the all-star team.
Yeah.
But, the third base is definitely stacked in the National League. That's for sure.
If you ignore pitchers, I think absolutely third base is the most stacked. Pitching's always, I look at, I always look at guys like Johnny Cueto. I'm like, has he only been an all-star, twice or whatever? But that's why. There's so many pitchers and it's difficult to make it. Before last season, I probably even said it on the podcast. I know I said it out loud to friends, but I said, Eugenio Suarez is going to have a great, great career as a Red, and he may never make a single all-star team. And of course, he went out and made the all-star team last year.
That's right, he did. That's right.
You never know. But you could be a really, really good third baseman, especially now that, of course, I don't know, Machado, I think maybe playing shortstop for San Diego. But you could really be good and not make the All-Star team this year. So don't get mad at Suarez if he doesn't make it.
Don't get mad at him for anything. How about that?
Nah, you can get mad at him.
Nah, I'm not allowing it.
There's a lot to get mad at Eugenio Suarez about. He doesn't have enough fun on the field.
That bubble he blew, it just wasn't big enough. I'm very upset.
Absolutely. Now, here's one from our buddy Chris C. on Twitter. I'm not sure how to answer this one, but here you go. Hashtag viewer mail. If you were to pick current former Reds to recast Star Wars movies, who are some Reds you would pick, and what characters would they play? I'm assuming Jar Jar Binks is already being played by Johnny Gomes. That's what Chris said. That's an interesting question, and I'm not quite sure I know how to answer that one.
Well, I know for a fact that I don't know how to answer that one because I've never seen any of the Star Wars movies, and I just have a bunch of Star Trek jokes that I want to make instead, just because I'm the worst. So
stop.
I'm not going to do it. I said I have them and I want to make them. I didn't say I'm going to make them.
No, I'm saying you've never seen the Star Wars movies?
Not really. They've been on in like rooms that I've been in, but no, I've never actually watched any of them.
I was baffled in our last podcast because my buddy Bill was completely just dumbfounded by the fact that my favorite basketball team had lost a big game last year. And now, second podcast in a row, I'm dumbfounded. I don't know how you escape having watched those movies, especially you, Doug. I know you like movies. I know you have watched movies.
I have watched movies, yes.
How have you avoided those?
I'm not a big sci-fi fan, and I've also got this weird thing where, like, I don't watch movies that were made before I was born. And yes, I understand that makes me a total psychopath.
That's pretty psycho.
I mean, I'll make an exception for, like, baseball movies, but that's about it. And so I never really got into like the Star Wars thing as a kid or anything. And by the time I'm an adult, like it just doesn't I just don't see like it being a good use of my time.
Well, I kind of get it because those movies, all of them, are pretty much overrated. I've enjoyed all of them, but I grew up with them. I was a huge fan as a kid, and but people are insane about these movies. This is going to get a nasty tweet from some of our followers, but
you can all tweet me, not Chad. tweet at me. This is my fault, and I'm willing to take any of your terrible Doug tweets over this. Like, I get it. I totally get it.
At Doug24. Well, here's what I'm going to say. Here's your homework, Doug. Before you're on the podcast again next time, I want you to watch the best Star Wars movie. And you're starting at the beginning, episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Okay? Watch that one for us.
Is that the one that came out in like 2000?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I want you to watch that one, and I want you to know what you think about the pod races. And it's just a fun tour de force. Oh, it's just exciting. You can watch young Anakin's little Annie. Oh, man.
I feel like I'm picking up so much sarcasm right now.
No, I want you to watch that one. Chris, we didn't answer your question, but you revealed a dark secret in Doug's past, and so we're going to move away from that one. Jason,
that is not a secret. I feel like this is very, very public.
It is now. I don't know how I'd miss that one. All right, let's see here. We had some viewer mail here. And I somehow lost it. Good grief, Dotson. I don't know how to operate computers.
I mean, I do, but I'm not there to operate yours, so you're on your own for this one.
I'm going to pull this back up. Viewer mail, if I can. Because we had a good question that I wanted to get to. There it is. Jason Untrus, is trading away Frank Robinson the worst trade in Reds history?
I'm going to go with yes, because that was before free agency, and you could have just kept him
forever. Rest in peace, Frank Robinson. I think that's the worst trade, especially because of the legendary justification that was given by Bill DeWitt Jr. at the time. Frank Robinson's an old 30.
Yeah, whatever that means.
And he went on to dominate in his 30s. I don't know. I'm trying to think who the other contenders might be, and the only one I think of is the Reds traded Billy Hamilton this year, right? That's what I read on Facebook, that they traded.
Yes, you would have read that on Facebook. don't read the comments on Facebook ever.
Absolutely not. All right, Joseph Prince at JD Prince 8466 asks, with a 4-man bench, is Connor Joe's versatility enough to overcome his inexperience and move him ahead of Casale? So, of course, Connor Joe, the Rule 5 guy who has to stay on the roster all year, or he has to be returned. Is his versatility enough to overcome his inexperience and move him ahead of Kurt Casale?
I'm going to go with no, unless Kurt Casale's injured, which that's a possibility. Right now, Kurt Casale's not playing because he's still recovering from off-season hip surgery. The Reds have stated that they believe that he'll be fine and ready to go for the for opening day, but he hasn't played yet, and until he does, you just don't know. But that's the only way I can see it happening, is if Kurt Casale's not ready to start the season.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and I think it wouldn't be a bad thing. I agree. If not that I'm wishing bad things on Kurt Casale, but I don't know. I'd like to see if the Reds have something with Connor Joe, mostly because I love his name.
You know, I think that there might be something there with the bat. I don't know that he's going to get a chance. I just don't see a realistic path to him getting the kind of playing time that would be necessary for me to be like, yes, this guy's got a chance to actually be something more than, a utility guy that gets 100 at bats a year.
Definitely. Last question from Steven Offenbaker is a related question. Our buddy from Hawaii, also the host of the Reds Alert podcast. Hash Brown viewer mail, do the Reds like Connor Joe enough to keep him instead of Casale? We've already talked about that one, but the second part is, will they send Alex Blandino down to keep Derek Dietrich? And I think the answer is no, if all things being equal. If Blandino wasn't hurt, I think Blandino goes down to keep Dietrich over those two. But Blandino's not going to be ready for opening day, and so really it's a moot point.
Yeah, maybe you have seen something in the past day or two that I haven't, but I have not seen where Blandino isn't going to be ready for opening day. At the same time, I haven't seen anything that says he is. The last thing that I saw, and again, maybe you've seen something since then, but it was basically, you know, it's going to be cutting it close as to whether or not he's going to be ready for opening day or not. He's not ready to play in games right now, but they are expecting him to play in spring training games at some point. But either way, it's one of those situations where if they're trying to choose between Alex Blandino, even if he's fully healthy and ready to go, and Derek Dietrich, it's got to be Dietrich's job to lose. Unless somehow, some way, the 40-man roster is completely full and they have no idea or no will to make a move, because Blandino is on the roster and right now Dietrich isn't. But I don't think that's going to stop them from making that move. So,
agreed. All right. We're recording this on Sunday afternoon. Going to go ahead and release it as quickly as we can. But the Oscars are tonight, Doug, the Academy Awards. And there is so much that I hate about the Academy Awards ceremony. And I won't get into a lot of that. But I watch it every year. And I watch it this year until I get frustrated enough to turn it off. But do you have any thoughts about the 2019 Oscars? And is there any particular movie that you want to... that you want to see us, you want to see have some success tonight?
There's only one that I'm very passionate about, and it's actually a film that you recently saw too. I would like to see Free Solo win something for Best Documentary. I went and saw that a couple of weeks ago in IMAX, and it was absolutely incredible. The storytelling was great. The cinematography was great. I absolutely loved it. It's one of those movies that I saw, and I was very happy that I actually went and saw it in the theater. I don't think it would have been the same seeing it at home, you know, buying it off of, you know, whatever service you use to buy your movies at home. It was beautiful, and seeing it on IMAX was great.
I did watch it at home, and I can imagine IMAX would have been gorgeous.
Oh, it was. It was worth every penny that I paid.
And it's Free Solo. It's a documentary about a rock climber, but that does not do it justice. You can go check it out. But I agree, amazing and tense. I mean, it's really sort of, you're on the edge of your seat a little bit with him throughout the. It's really, really well done. I agree. Free Solo hopefully will win best documentary feature at the Academy Awards. The one that I'm passionate about that I don't think is going to win, but that I think should have been nominated for Best Picture, it was only nominated for Best Animated Feature, and that's Isle of Dogs. Wes Anderson's Isle of Dogs, his most recent picture. I'm a Wes Anderson junkie. It was nominated for Best Animated. Probably not going to win that one, I don't think. It may. I don't know. But should have been nominated for Best Picture instead of about four of those Best Picture nominees that had no business being nominated. So, anyway, I'll be watching the Academy Awards. You're probably just going to be watching the Red Spring training game on a continuous loop, right?
I mean, there's a chance. We'll have to see how it plays out, but, you know, probably.
All right. Doug Gray, I think we're going to stick a pin in this one. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
All right. You can follow us, as we said, at Doug Dirt, at Dawson C on Twitter. We're at Red Leg Radio. You can also follow us at Red Leg Nation on Twitter, and then go to redlegnation.com, where we've been talking about the Reds pretty much every single day since 2005. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a good rating, a good review. Tell your friends about us. If you like us, talk about us. If you don't like us, keep your mouth shut. Doug, always fun, buddy.
It was a good time. I cannot wait for the next one. We'll have even more baseball to talk about.
For Doug Gray and Connor Joe, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app, and join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew, topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.